Thank you for tuning in to this month's episode of The Cutty Strange on Wave Farm's WGXC 90.7 FM in New York's Upper Hudson Valley. Tonight's show, in two parts, explores the ideas of perception, and we'll move from electronics to free jazz and then back again. And we'll start off with Mexico City-based composer Ernesto Carcamo Cavazos and his piece Diez Simpatias, or 10 Sympathies for Piano and Electronics. He writes about the piece, 10 Sympathies for Amplified Piano and Electronics brings to focus the sympathetic resonance of piano strings with external sound sources. 10 different piano phrases are coupled with corresponding electronic phrases played directly below the piano. The electronics complement the natural resonance of each phrase, constructively and/or destructively, making these lasting resonances the true musical content of the piece. It is advised that any recording of the piece is heard to in near total silence so that the richness of the resonances and interactions are readily apparent. We start with this piece because it clearly brings forth sounds and qualities of the piano that listeners are not always aware of, and it pushes the listener to come to terms with this perception of what could be a newly discovered sound or group of sounds that he or she has likely been familiar with their whole life, and just hearing the sound of the piano. So here it is, Diez Simpatias by Ernesto Carcamo Cavazos.
Thank you.
And there we just heard Dies Simpatias, or Ten Sympathies for Piano and Electronics by Ernesto Carcamo Cavazos. Next we move on to a piece by Bernard Parmigiani, who was featured quite heavily on last month's episode. And tonight just comes up as very appropriate again to play another one of his works, because it brings together two worlds that until quite recently haven't traditionally gone together, which is free jazz and musique concrète. His piece Jazz X, written 1966, is composed for jazz quartet and tape, saxophone, trumpet, bass, and drums. The group is instructed to play in various iterations, interplayed with a fixed media portion of the sounds of the group itself, manipulated but not in real time. And this creates a coexistence among these sonorities. And I don't really have much to say on this, because I think the piece speaks highly for itself in terms of perception, and that element is abundantly clear, I would hope. But we don't often hear things like this, and it makes us listen differently. So here's Bernard Parmigiani's Jazz X. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
For a second act, we're going to turn our attention to a landmark piece in the repertoire of free improvisation, Roscoe Mitchell's Nonea. It was first performed on solo saxophone in August of 1976, and this piece just turned 40 a couple of weeks ago. Originally released on the Nessa label out of Chicago, it's a story tale in the canon of jazz music, which challenged the perception and the opinions of the listeners at the time, ultimately winning them over, but it also saw the creation of a piece that has seen many versions and faces since then. And this, of course, I feel is best told by Roscoe himself. This is taken from an interview organized by Seattle-based record label Table and Chairs Music from 2014.
I would say that Nonea started off as one of five projected solo pieces for saxophone. It came at a period when I wanted to get out of the cities and I moved to the country. I had waited until like the art ensemble had started to work, and then it dawned on me that I can live wherever I want to live. But then going to actually move into the country, it was terrifying. I got there and I looked in the mirror and I didn't really see that much. But the thing that did come out of that was Nonea, which started out as a piece for solo saxophone. I mean, the only thing that I knew about Nonea is that I wanted to exploit the three different registers of the saxophone, and so the saxophone would sound like more than one instrument. The solo version in Willis Hall, Switzerland came about because Anthony Braxton was scheduled to play there, and it was something with his travel situation where he was not able to get there. So Nicholas Troxler asked me if I would do the solo. It was kind of a confrontation because, you know, the art ensemble had already played at the festival, and there were a lot of people there that were waiting to hear Anthony.
Zuerst mal müssen wir improvisieren heute Abend. Der Anthony Braxton ist leider nicht angekommen, bis jetzt.
Certainly there were a few people that wanted to just kind of like heckle me because I'm up there in the place of Anthony. And I learned a big lesson from that. It's like, hecklers are not going to scream me down if I'm got a saxophone and all I got is their voice. Sonic sonorities and so on that I were able to get that staying with that that one phrase over and over and over and over again. And when the hecklers finally stopped and I stopped, it almost had cleared the air, and then I was able to go on and continue with the solo concert. After I had played that a bit and so on, I started to become interested in the quartet for four saxophones. I remember after hearing the slow movement of Nonea for the saxophones, it kind of reminded me of strings. And I was talking to my friend, a genius composer from Chicago, Primus Fountain III, and he suggested that I ever think about maybe doing it for, since it was for four alto saxophones, that I think about doing it for four of the same string instruments. And I took his suggestion and I settled on a version of that for four cellos. After that, there was another opportunity at the University of Wisconsin to work with Richard Lotrich and Robert Cole and Joan Wildland, and that's when I started to work on the trio for flute, bassoon, and piano. a lot of times with my work, I'll stay with one work for a long time, and what it's done, it really gives me a deeper knowledge of what I'm working with. I'm familiar enough with the materials through writing all these different versions, and also with the exploration of improvisation with this piece, that it gives me a kind of a vocabulary that I can reach back into and develop develop pieces. And it's so strange now. I mean, it's coming back to haunt me. It seems like everybody wants to know about Nonea.
In the interest of time, we're going to listen to the mentioned opening segment of Nonea from the original premiere recording given on August 23rd, 1976. The entire performance is 22 minutes long and absolutely worth going and finding wherever you can. And after that, we're going to listen to a piece by Berlin-based musician Encephalus, whose plunderphonics experiments were explored previously on the show. And he did a piece called Nonea in Order, which takes this opening segment of 9 notes, and instead of the notes as they go on the original recording, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, he took each iteration and put them as the first note, for example, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, and so on, and then all of the iterations of the second note, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, and so on, 333 until all 9 are explored. So you hear the evolution of each note back to back over time. And I'm going to put a short pause in between that because I think it's best heard in a seamless fashion. So first is the opening segment of Nonea from Roscoe Mitchell's August 23rd, 1976 performance, followed by Nonea in Order, a plunderphonics experiment by Encephalus.
Liebe Festivalbesucher, das erste Mal müssen wir improvisieren heute Abend. Der Anthony Braxton ist leider nicht angekommen, bis jetzt. Wir haben vorläufig so improvisiert, es wird 2 Teile geben. Ein erster Teil von Roscoe.
Thank you. Thank you.
Musicians could have a lot of power if they would come together, even if they're not playing, just talking about what, you know, what's going on with them and sharing ideas and working out a strategy and so on and so forth. I would hope that that idea is still alive.
The Cutty Strange is produced and hosted by Daniel Steffi out of Brooklyn, New York, and airs on the first Thursday of each month at 1 a.m. on WayFarm's WGXC 90.7 FM in New York's Upper Hudson Valley.